Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
Coming up on this episode of The Entrepreneurial You.
Because at different points in time, we've all had to use a machine somewhere. And the other interesting fact that I like to point out is if you kind of stop people on the street and talk to 100 people and ask 100 people, have you ever lost money in a machine or had difficulty paying a machine or even in the last year? And almost everybody you talk to can tell you a story about the time that they either lost money, you know, the machine ate their money, didn't dispense their product, they had a hard time paying a parking meter or whatever. Everybody has a story about that. So in one sense, this is just everyday life kind of stuff.
If you don't innovate fast, disrupt your industry, disrupt yourself, you'll be left behind. John Chambers. Hello again, my peak performers. It is my absolute pleasure to bring to you another podcast episode. But of course, before I go into doing all the introduction, I want to give you a reminder of a tool that can help you to navigate the social media space, you know, to manage social media for you. And if you've been using any such tool before, a similar tool, you'll find that it's far less time consuming than anything else you've used before. So I'm actually talking about, drum roll, eClincher. And eClincher will allow you to improve your team and clients' collaboration and productivity so that you can get back some time on your hands to do to work on any project that you know you perhaps would have wanted to work on a long time ago. So eClincher will help you to free up some time, and you can check out the show notes page of this episode where you will be given access to a free 14-day trial using my affiliate link. And you'll find it suits you, whether you're an SME, an agency, or enterprise, and you can sign up and go beyond that. So, yeah, go check it out. If you want to get some time on your hands, go check out eClincher. All right, so to the matter at hand, it is episode 235 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Today's episode is with Parish Patel, and he is the founder and CEO of PayRange, patented technology with over 3 million users worldwide, allowing smartphones to make touchless, socially distanced payments on any person, place, or thing. Parish began applying technology to solve business problems at the tender age of 17. Yes, when most of us were just thinking about, what party should I be going to and stuff like that. Applying technology in a previously unused manner to fix a broken soda machine has led him to spearheading a company ranked 83rd on Deloitte's Technology Fast 500, and the company securing a growth rate of 1,325%. During the past 3 years. Are you excited yet? I sure am. So we're going to be talking today, touchless technology in a socially distanced world. Parish Patel is my guest. Welcome, Parish.
Yeah, hi. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Give me your best Jamaican accent.
Oh, I don't do accents.
Right. I'm not going to give you a pass. You know, I want you to give me something Jamaican. If it's not the accent, give me something Jamaican.
Hey, man.
Oh, well, good job. Yeah, I give you A for effort. Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. At the tender age of 17, since then, you have been applying technology to solve business problems. Explain.
Yeah. So, you know, I started very early with the entrepreneurial mindset. Actually, when I was as early as around 11 or 12 years old, my parents had bought a motel, and on that property was a soda machine, which my dad let my brother and I fill. So we were kind of running that one machine as our kind of mini business, buying soda, filling it up, collecting the money and using it for all kinds of things that kids would want to buy. At that time, it was like computers and games and stuff like that. But it kind of got me set on this path of thinking about how we could use business to make money.
And on that path, what has it been like for you?
Well, it's always interesting. It can be challenging many of the different times that you're working through problems. But at the end, it's a sense of accomplishment when you solve and tackle a problem and come up with an innovative solution. One of my approaches is trying not to the proverbial reinvent the wheel. We're trying to look at problems and try to find ways to do this differently or better. And we just want to do things the way things have always been done. So everything that I've done, I've always tried to put my own little twist to it or a little innovative approach to it, and usually using technology.
All right. So I said something in the intro, and I want you to kind of expound on that, you know, applying technology in a previously unused manner to fix a broken sort of machine. What was that technology that you used? How did you go about discovering, you know, that you could use this to fix this machine? What was that process like?
So I think from our perspective or my perspective, a lot of times what I do is I just try to imagine the way things could be or should be, or the way I would want them to be, not necessarily the way they are. So kind of imagining a world where this problem or a better way could exist. And so when we talk about that soda machine, like back when I was building my vending company, one of the things that was, you know, kind of simple to think about today, but, you know, this was like 25, 30 years ago, was you really didn't know what was happening at that machine until you were literally there. And there was no way to track inventory, know how much money was in there, how to account for the inventory. And so we started initially creating systems to do that and, you know, building my own computer program. And then later using handheld computers to take inventory. We were one of the first in our area to actually use handheld computers. This was like back in like 2000 or something, where we could walk up to a machine, inventory the machine, use it to account for all of the inventory, the cash and everything. And it's obviously standard stuff today. But back then, it was a world that did not even exist.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about a world that did not exist before, mm-hmm. which is quite where we are right now. And yeah. How fitting is the topic that we are about to expound on, touchless technology in a socially distanced world. Now, when we talk about touchless technology, essentially, what are we talking about and what's really at the forefront of your mind, Parish?
Yeah, so first of all, there are the most basic part of it is just being able to send payment without having to touch a vending machine or a laundry machine. And it sounds simple enough, but it's actually not that simple of a problem, because somehow you have to be able to interact with that machine. And so my company, PayRange, actually, if you think about the namesake, PayRange, we started in 2015 with the goal of sending payment when you're within range of the machine. So before social distance was even a term that it was kind of top of mind of everybody, we kind of were looking at it from a different perspective. Obviously we had not envisioned a pandemic or anything, but being an operator of machines, I used to run vending machines. The contact on machines created a lot of problems. I created opportunities for vandalism, wear and tear, breakage, people putting lollipop sticks down the coin chutes, dollar bills getting stuck. And there were just a lot of problems with the physical contact, a physical, you know, exchange for payment, basically. And I said, it would be better to accept payment without having that physical contact. So that's where we first started. And of course, now in 2020 and 2021, it actually proved to be another reason, which was obviously the pandemic.
Interesting. So it's like you were so ahead of the game and you were planning for something that you didn't even know that you would, you know, it would come in so handy and would be quite fitting in a time like this. So in your business, PayRange, kind of describe the technology that is behind, you know, you going touchless.
Yes. So our technology uses a mobile app, the PayRange app. And the way our system works is we have for lack of a better word, a Bluetooth dongle that sits inside the machine. It's an inexpensive device that goes into the machine, and it can plug into virtually any machine, any soda machine, snack machine, food machine, air machine for gas stations, laundry machines, anything that really takes payment to operate, we can plug and play into that. And then what happens is all of the interaction can actually be done through the mobile app. So you could just send payment there. And more recently, you can actually make your selection from the app. And so you don't actually have to even touch the machine at all. And the way this kind of came about was I actually found myself stuck one time where my low pressure light on my car had come on, and I pulled into the gas station with my young kids in the back seat, and I was literally a quarter short to activate the air machine. I had like 75 cents and it required a dollar, and I was a quarter short. It was late at night, couldn't do anything. And I ended up making a call, and my phone connected to my car through Bluetooth. And that's when I kind of just occurred to me, it said, I have everything I need. I have money in my account. I have a credit card. I got a debit card. I got a phone. I got communication technology. I just have no way to tell that machine that I have money. And I thought, what if just like my phone connects to my car, the phone could connect to the machine? So that's kind of where the genesis of the idea came. And then we developed the dongle, and I'm grossly simplifying it because everybody said that's impossible. That can't happen. It's not going to be secure and all of that kind of stuff. But we innovated and we found a way to make it all happen.
Mm-hmm. What was your team like in putting all of this together?
Well, so initially it was very small. It was just me and a couple contractors that I had hired to help kind of build the technology, but the core technology and the proof of concept was built just like with three people, me and a couple other people, and they weren't even full-time employees, they were contractors. Eventually, I ended up raising money and then hiring a team to, you know, bring it to market and all of that.
Oh, interesting. All right. So you have been doing this for a while now, the pay range, using pay range. What is some, you know, the kind of feedback that you have been getting from those who use it? What are some of the comments that they've been giving you and how effective it has been for them?
Yeah. So what was really interesting was when we first launched it, the biggest, when we showed or demonstrated this to anybody, the biggest comment that we got was, they were just in awe. It was like it was like you did magic for them, and they had just seen a magic trick, because you literally saw money jump from your mobile phone to the machine. And people were like, wow, that's just like, how did that happen? And it was just like, it was amazing to them, like a magic trip would be. But you know, that was at the very beginning, and I'm actually just scrolling through some of the most recent app reviews we got, like literally just today. And the things that people say are like, you know, like makes life so much easier. You don't have to worry about getting quarters. When it feels weird that an app actually works, you must give it 5 stars. And these are literally types of reviews that we get, is that people are just amazed by how simple yet powerful of a tool this is.
Mm. So your customers, I want to talk to us a little bit about your customers and those that you are, you know, are using your service. I mean, we talked about that over 3 million people, our users worldwide, are accessing using their, you know, their smartphones. Who are the type of people that you're targeting? And is this, you know, talk about the economics of this service. Is it expensive, kind of a thing?
Yeah. So, you know, at the very highest level, it's just our customers are people who more or less are everyday kind of users, people who go to work and need to use the vending machines at the lunchroom, people who travel who might be using vending machines at the airport or hotel, people who live in apartment complexes and need to do laundry in the apartment laundry room, people who might go to a laundromat, so people who use car washes. So it's just everyday walk of life, people who are doing things in their normal, ordinary, daily life. And that's what's kind of amazing about this, is that it can really affect and touch almost everybody, because at different points in time, we've all had to use a machine somewhere. And the other interesting fact that I like to point out is if you kind of stop people on the street and talk to 100 people and asked 100 people, have you ever lost money in a machine or had difficulty paying a machine or even in the last year? And almost everybody you talk to can tell you a story about the time that they either lost money, you know, the machine ate their money, didn't dispense their product, they had a hard time paying a parking meter or whatever. Everybody has a story about that. So in one sense, this is just everyday life kind of stuff.
Do you think that touchless technology, the kind of service that you offer, do you think anytime soon the potential for it to become saturated, that market to become saturated? Speak to us about that.
You know, there are so many different places that people still interact with on a daily basis, especially with cash and coin. And one way to kind of just estimate this is if you kind of look at, you know, we do use credit cards and debit cards all over the place, but at the same time, there are still between $800 billion and $1 trillion in ATM cash withdrawals every year just in the United States. And if you think about that, $1 trillion being withdrawn from ATMs, where is all that money being used? Because wasn't credit card and debit card supposed to be used everywhere? Well, the reality is yes, when you maybe go to a restaurant or you go to the coffee shop or you go to the store, you might be using your debit card or credit card, but there are still thousands or millions of places out there that you can't use it. And usually this is for the small tickets, things that are, you know, a couple dollars, $2, $3 here, 50 cents, 25 cents. And so people still have a use for cash. And oftentimes it's very, very inconvenient because you withdraw $20 from an ATM. You got to go to a store to break that into fives and ones. And then you might have to break that further into change. So it's a multi-step, inconvenient process. And our thesis is, what if that ATM was literally in your pocket? What if your mobile phone effectively became that ATM, allowed you to withdraw money from your debit card, your bank account, and then in simple motion, be able to just send that payment directly to a machine or whatever you wanted to pay without having to convert it into physical bills and coin. And so that's kind of our target market. So we're looking at everywhere that a person might have to pay cash and try to go with that. And we think it's a huge opportunity still ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. So I live in an environment, Parish, where the digital divide is wide, and COVID made that very obvious, right? So there are a lot of persons who, let's talk about the digital divide to when you compare a developing state to a developed state, for example, US versus Jamaica. But not only that, even within Jamaica, there's also the digital divide with the upper echelons of society versus those who are not as fortunate. And so there is a, maybe even not because there's no desire, but there is no technology, as it were, to facilitate things like pay range, for example. How would you advise, like, you know, the government and persons in charge of digital technology to ensure that we get up to scratch?
Yeah, it's a great question. So one of the things, at least even within the United States, that we're seeing is a lot of our consumers are actually the underbanked or underserved community. You know, mm-hmm. if you kind of think about it from a demographic perspective, the people who visit laundromats and are in apartment complex using laundry are typically not the highest income earners. And so a lot of our consumers end up being from the, you know, lower economic status. But one of the nice things about mobile technology today is that, you know, most people, upper or lower or middle, they have a mobile device. Now, the question is, how can you get them to be able to do a fluid transfer of funds from that mobile to anything that they want to do? How do you get it into the mobile and how do you get it out of the mobile? And so there, you know, not everybody's going to have a credit card. Not everybody's going to have a debit card. So we're looking at ways that people can still benefit from the convenience of digital transfer of payment without having to have the underlying bank account to begin with. So, for example, we recently added in the United States EBT, which is the government assistance program, electronics benefit transfer. So people who are earning EBT or getting EBT cards, they can actually use that to now do laundry or buy snacks at the vending machine as well, not needing a bank account themselves. And so there are different ways like that, perhaps in some places using people to, like, stores to transfer cash into the digital wallet. But the point is, there is a lot of opportunity still there, and there's a lot of room for improvement and growth. The key thing is to figure out the in and out. How do you get money into the wallet, a digital wallet, and then how can you easily get it back out?
Awesome. Excellent response. So in terms of your final, I'd like to hear from you your final thoughts, maybe wrap this conversation up. You know, we're talking about, you know, touchless technology in a socially distanced world, and wrap that up with your final thoughts, perhaps touch on things that we never touched on before.
Yeah, so one of the things that kind of came kind of forefront during the pandemic was our dependency on cash and coin. There was in the United States in the summer of 2020 a massive coin shortage, just like there was the toilet paper shortage. And people realized when you couldn't get coins, how dependent we were on that. That people couldn't do laundry, people couldn't go to the grocery store, and even grocery stores were not requiring cashless payment. You couldn't pay with cash. And it really underpinned how dependent the economy is on just the being able to make physical payment, cash and coin. And so when we think about reducing that dependency, at least providing options, it's a very important topic to realize that sometimes the people who get impacted most are the people who have the fewest options. And so with that in mind, we kind of continued to just kind of on that conversation we just had is how can we get cash in and out of our digital wallet that allows the maximum impact to people who might not be as financially advantageous position.
Excellent. And finally, how might my community get in touch with you to learn more of PayRange or just to engage with you on any other question regarding this topic that we've been talking about?
So our website is payrange.com, and you can find out more about our company there. And to reach me, probably the best place is just look me up on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. It's been a pleasure, Parish Patel, talking with you on this quite relevant topic in this season, in this era of COVID-19. Can't wait to see the back of it. I'm sure many of us, all of us, can't wait to see the back of it. But in the meantime, we just learn how to exist and even thrive as we go through this very challenging period, which it is challenging for everyone. So thank you so much for being my guest today. You were insightful, and I wish you every success on your onward journey.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And my community, my amazing Peak Performer community, I thank you for tuning into this episode with Parish Patel. Of course, you know, I always look forward to connecting with you next time, but please just share this episode with a friend, discuss it, engage with it. Until next time when we connect, I want you also to link up with me for all things podcasting, man, whether it's a book, the book that I've written last, which is Podcast Power, the Quick Start Guide to Launching and Leveling Up Your Brand, or whether it's coaching, podcast production, or the online course. You just want to check me out, check out the blog, visit hennikawatkisporter.com and send me a WhatsApp message right from that page, which will come directly to my phone, and I'll be happy to engage with you. I love, love, love to engage with you. So please, I look forward to that. Here is the point of hope for this week. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom and by his understanding, stretched out the heavens. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12. What good?
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.